Chapter 14. Butterfly Hunting. The notion had popped into his head soon after waking on Saturday morning, even before he'd gone downstairs to open the store. Strangely, as he'd been pondering the possibilities of what to do with the kids that day, he'd remembered a project he'd done in the sixth grade. The teacher had asked the students to make an insect collection. He flashed to a memory of running through a grassy field at recess, chasing after everything from bumblebees to katydids. He was certain that Josh and Kristen would enjoy it, and feeling proud of himself for coming up with something exciting and original to occupy a weekend afternoon, he sifted through the fishing nets he had in the store, choosing three that were about the right size. When he told them at lunch, Josh and Kristen were less than enthusiastic about the idea.
"I don't want to hurt any butterflies," Kristen protested. "I like butterflies."
"We don't have to hurt them. We can let them go."
"Then why catch them in the first place?"
"Because it's fun."
"It doesn't sound fun. It sounds mean."
Alex opened his mouth to respond, but he wasn't sure what to say. Josh took another bite of his grilled cheese sandwich.
"It's pretty hot already, Dad,"
Josh pointed out, talking as he chewed. "That's okay. Afterward, we can swim in the creek and chew with your mouth closed." Josh swallowed.
"Why don't we just swim in the creek now?"
"Because we're going butterfly hunting."
"Can we go to a movie instead?"
"Yeah,"
Kristen said.
"Let's go to a movie."
Parenting, Alex thought, could be exasperating. "It's a beautiful day, and we're not going to spend it sitting inside. We're going butterfly hunting. And not only that, you're going to enjoy it, okay?" After lunch, Alex drove them to a field on the outskirts of town that was filled with wildflowers. He handed them their nets and sent them on their way, watching as Josh sort of dragged his net while Kristen held hers tucked against her, in much the same way she held her dolls. Alex took matters into his own hands and jogged ahead of both of them, his net at the ready. Up ahead, fluttering among the wildflowers, he spotted dozens of butterflies. When he got close enough, he swung his net, capturing one. Squatting down, he carefully began to shift the net, allowing the orange and brown colors to show through.
"Wow,"
he shouted, trying to sound as enthusiastic as he could.
"I got one."
The next thing he knew, Josh and Kristen were peering over his shoulder.
"Be careful with it, Daddy,"
Kristen cried.
"I will, baby. Look at how pretty the colors are."
They leaned in even closer.
"Cool,"
Josh shouted, and a moment later he was off and running, swinging the net with abandon. Kristen continued to study the butterfly.
"What kind is it?"
"It's a skipper," Alex said, "but I don't know exactly what kind."
"I think he's scared,"
Kristen said.
"I'm sure he's fine, but I'll let him go, okay?"
She nodded as Alex carefully pulled the net inside out. In the open air, the butterfly clung to the net before taking off in flight. Kristen's eyes went wide with wonder.
"Can you help me catch one?" she asked.
"I'd love to."
They spent a little more than an hour running among the flowers. They caught about 8 different kinds of butterflies, including a buckeye, though the vast majority were skippers like the first. By the time they finished, the kids' faces were red and shiny, so Alex drove them to get ice cream cones before heading to the creek behind the house. The three of them jumped off the dock together, Josh and Kristen wearing life preservers, and floated downstream in the slow-moving water. It was the kind of day he'd spent as a kid. By the time they got out of the water, he was contented by the thought that, aside from going to the beach, it was the best weekend they'd had in a while. But it was tiring, too. Afterward, once the kids had showered, they wanted to watch a movie, and Alex popped in Homeward Bound, a movie they'd seen a dozen times, but were always willing to watch again. From the kitchen, he could see them on the couch, neither one moving in the slightest, staring at the television in that dazed way particular to exhausted children. He wiped the kitchen counters and loaded the dirty dishes into the dishwasher, started a load of laundry, straightened up the living room, and gave the kids' bathroom a good scrubbing before finally sitting beside them on the couch for a while. Josh curled up on one side, Kristen on the other. By the time the movie ended, Alex could feel his own eyelids beginning to droop. After working at the store and playing with the kids and cleaning the house, it felt good to simply relax for a while. The sound of Josh's voice jarred him awake.
Hey, Dad?
Yeah?
What's for dinner? I'm starved.
From the waitress stand, Katie peered out at the deck and then turned back again, staring as Alex and the kids followed the hostess to an open table near the railing. Kristen smiled and waved as soon as she saw Katie, and hesitated only a second before scooting between the tables and hurtling directly for her. Katie bent down as the little girl threw her arms around her.
"We wanted to surprise you," Kristen said.
"Well, you did. What are you doing here?"
"My dad didn't want to cook for us tonight."
"He didn't?"
"He said he was too tired."
"There's more to the story," Alex announced. "Trust me."
Katie hadn't heard him come up, and she stood. "Oh, hey," she said, blushing against her will.
"How are you?" Alex asked.
"Good," she nodded, feeling a bit flustered. "Busy, as you can tell."
"It seems like it. We had to wait before they could seat us in your section."
"It's been like that all day."
"Well, we won't keep you. Come on, Kristen. Let's go to the table. We'll see you in a few minutes, or whenever you're ready."
"Bye, Miss Katie,"
Kristen waved again. Katie watched them walk to the table, strangely excited by their visit. She saw Alex open the menu and lean forward to help Kristen with hers. And for an instant, she wished she were sitting with them. She retucked her shirt and glanced at her reflection in the stainless steel coffee pot. She couldn't make out much, only a blurry image, but it was enough to make her run a hand through her hair. Then, after a quick check to make sure her shirt hadn't been stained, nothing she could do about it, of course, but she still wanted to know, she walked over to the table.
"Hey, guys," she said, addressing the kids. "I hear your dad didn't want to cook dinner for you."
Kristen giggled, but Josh simply nodded.
"He said he was tired."
"That's what I heard," she said. Alex rolled his eyes.
"Thrown under the bus by my own kids. I just can't believe it."
"I wouldn't throw you under the bus, Daddy,"
Kristen said, seriously.
"Thank you, sweetie."
Katie smiled. "Are you thirsty? Can I get you something to drink?" They ordered sweet teas all around, along with a basket of hush puppies. Kristen brought the drinks to the table, and as she walked away, she felt Alex's gaze on her. She fought the urge to peek over her shoulder, though she desperately wanted to. For the next few minutes, she took orders and cleared plates from other tables, delivered a couple of meals, and finally returned with the basket of hush puppies.
"Be careful," she said. "They're still hot."
"That's when they're the best,"
Josh said, reaching into the basket. Kristen reached for one as well.
"We went butterfly hunting today," she said.
"You did?"
"Yep, but we didn't hurt them. We let them go."
"That sounds like fun. Did you have a good time?"
"It was awesome," Josh said. "I caught like 100 of them. And then we went swimming."
"What a great day," Katie said sincerely. "No wonder your dad is tired."
"I'm not tired,"
both Josh and Kristen said almost simultaneously.
"Maybe not," Alex said, "but you're both still going to bed early because your poor old dad needs to go to sleep."
Katie shook her head. "Don't be so hard on yourself," she said. "You're not poor." It took him a moment to realize she was teasing, and he laughed. It was loud enough for the people at the next table to notice, though he didn't seem to care.
I come in here to relax and enjoy my dinner, and I end up getting picked on by the waitress.
It's a tough life.
You're telling me. The next thing I know, you'll be telling me that I might want to order from the kids' menu, seeing as how I'm gaining weight.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, she said, with a pointed glance at his midsection.
He laughed again, and when he looked at her, she saw an appreciative gleam in his eye, reminding her that he found her attractive. I think we're ready to order now, he said.
What can I get you?
Alex ordered for them and Katie jotted it down. She held his gaze for a moment before leaving the table and dropping the order off in the kitchen. As she continued to work the tables in her station, as quickly as people left, they were replaced. She found excuses to swing by Alex's table. She refilled their waters and their teas. She removed the basket when they were done with their hush puppies, and she brought Josh a new fork after his had dropped on the floor. She chatted easily with Alex and the kids, enjoying every moment, and eventually brought them their dinners. Later, when they were through, she cleared the table and dropped off the check. By then, the sun was getting lower, and Kristen had begun to yawn, and if anything, the restaurant had gotten busier. She had time for only a quick goodbye as the kids scrambled down the stairs, but when Alex hesitated, she had the sense that he was about to ask her out. She wasn't sure how she was going to handle it, but before he could get the words out, one of her customers spilled a beer. The customer stood quickly from the table, bumping it, and two more glasses toppled over. Alex stepped back, the moment broken, knowing she had to go.
See you soon, he said, waving as he trailed after his kids.
The following day, Katie pushed open the door to the store only a half an hour after opening.
You're here early, Alex said, surprised.
I was up early and just thought I'd get my shopping out of the way.
Did it ever slow down last night?
Finally, but a couple of people have been out this week. One went to her sister's wedding and another called in sick. It's been crazy.
I could tell, but the food was great, even if the service was a little slow.
When she fixed him with an irate expression, he laughed.
Just getting you back for teasing me last night, he shook his head, calling me old. I'll have you know, my hair went gray before I was 30.
You're very sensitive about that, she noted with a teasing tone. But trust me, it looks good on you. It lends a certain air of respectability.
Is that good or bad?
She smiled without giving an answer before reaching for a basket. As she did, she heard him clear his throat.
Are you working as much this coming week?
Not as much.
How about next weekend?
She thought about it. I'm off Saturday. Why?
He shifted his weight from one foot to the other before meeting her eyes.
Because I was wondering if I might be able to take you to dinner. Just the two of us this time. No kids.
She knew they were at a crossroads, one that would change the tenor of things between them. At the same time, it was the reason she'd come to the store as early as she had. She wanted to figure out whether she'd been mistaken about what she'd seen in his expression the previous evening, because it was the first time she knew for certain that she wanted him to ask. In the silence, though, he seemed to misread what she was thinking.
Never mind. It's not that big of a deal.
Yes, she said, holding his gaze. I'd love dinner, but on one condition.
What's that?
You've already done so much for me that I'd rather do something for you this time. How about I make you dinner instead? At my house.
He smiled, relieved.
That sounds perfect.
Chapter 15. On Saturday, Katie woke later than usual. She'd spent the past few days frantically shopping and decorating her house. A new sheer lace curtain for the living room window, some inexpensive prints for the walls, a few small area rugs, and real placemats and glasses for their dinner. Friday night she'd worked until after midnight, plumping up her new throw pillows and giving the house a final cleaning.
Despite the sun that slanted through her windows and striped her bed, she woke only when she heard the sounds of someone hammering. Checking the clock, she saw it was already after 9. Stumbling out of bed, Katie yawned and then walked toward the kitchen to hit the switch on the coffee pot before stepping out onto the porch, squinting in the brightness of the morning sun. Joe was on her front porch, the hammer poised for another whack when she spotted Katie. Joe put the hammer down.
I didn't wake you, did I?
Yeah, but that's okay. I had to get up anyway. What are you doing?
I'm trying to keep the shutter from falling off. When I got home last night, it was hanging cockeyed, and I was sure it was going to give way in the middle of the night. Of course, thinking that the crash might wake me up any minute kept me from falling asleep for hours.
Do you need some help?
No, I've just about got it.
How about coffee?
Sounds great. I'll be over in a few minutes.
Katie went to her bedroom, slipped out of her pajamas, and threw on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. She brushed her teeth and hair, just enough to get the tangles out. Through the window, she saw Joe walking toward the house. She opened the front door. Katie poured 2 cups of coffee and handed one to Joe as soon as she entered the kitchen.
Your house is really coming together. I love the rugs and the pictures.
Katie gave a modest shrug. Yeah, well, Southport is starting to feel like home, I guess. I figured I should start making this house into something more permanent.
It's really amazing. It's like you're finally beginning to nest.
How's your place coming?
It's getting better. I'll bring you by when it's ready.
Where have you been? I haven't seen you around lately. Joe gave a dismissive wave.
I was out of town for a few days on business, and then I went to visit someone last weekend, and then I was working. You know the drill.
I've been working a lot, too. I've had a ton of shifts lately.
You working tonight?
Katie took a sip of her coffee. No, I'm having someone over for dinner. Joe's eyes lit up.
Do you want me to guess who it could be?
You already know who it is. Katie tried to stop the slow flush that was creeping up her neck.
I knew it, she said. Good for you. Have you decided what you're going to wear?
Not yet.
Well, no matter what you decide, you'll look beautiful, I'm sure. And you're going to cook?
Believe it or not, I'm actually a fairly good cook.
What are you going to make?
When Katie told her, Joe raised her eyebrows.
Sounds yummy, Joe said. That's great. I'm happy for you. Both of you, actually. Are you excited?
It's only dinner.
I'll take that as a yes, she winked. It's too bad I can't stick around to spy on the two of you. I'd love to watch how it all unfolds, but unfortunately, I'm heading out of town.
Yes, Katie said. That's really too bad you're not going to be here. Joe laughed.
Sarcasm doesn't become you, by the way. But just so you know, I'm not going to let you off the hook. As soon as I get back, I'm going to need the full play-by-play.
It's just dinner, Katie said again.
Which means that you won't have any trouble telling me all about it.
I think you need another hobby.
Probably, Joe agreed. But right now, I'm having plenty of fun living vicariously through you, since my love life is pretty much non-existent. A girl needs to be able to dream, you know.
Katie's first stop was the hair salon. There, a young woman named Brittany trimmed and styled her hair, chatting nonstop the entire time. Across the street was the only women's boutique in Southport, and Katie stopped there next. Though she'd ridden past the store, she'd never been inside before. It had been one of the stores she'd never imagined herself either wanting or needing to go into. But as she began to browse, she was pleasantly surprised not only by the selections, but by some of the prices. Well, on the sale items, anyway, which was where Katie focused her attention. It was an odd experience to shop alone in a clothing store like this. She hadn't done such a thing in a long time, and as she changed in the dressing room, she felt more carefree than she had in years. She bought a couple of sale items, including a tan, form-fitting blouse with beading and stitching that scooped a bit in the front, not dramatically, but enough to accent her figure. She also found a gorgeous patterned summer skirt that complemented the blouse perfectly. The skirt was a little too long, but she knew she could fix that. After paying for her purchases, she wandered two doors down to what she knew was the only shoe store in town, where she picked up a pair of sandals. Again, they were on sale, and although ordinarily she would have felt almost frantic about shopping, the tips had been good over the last few days, and she'd decided to splurge. Within reason, of course. From there, she went first to the drugstore to buy a few things, and then finally rode across town to the grocery store. She took her time, content to browse the aisles, feeling the old, troubling memories trying and failing to reassert themselves. When she was finished, she rode her bicycle home and started the preparations for dinner. She was making shrimp stuffed with crab meat, cooked in a scampi sauce. She had to recall the recipe from memory, but she'd made it a dozen times over the years and was confident she hadn't forgotten anything. As side dishes, she'd decided on stuffed peppers and cornbread, and as an appetizer, she wanted to make a bacon-wrapped brie topped with a raspberry sauce. It had been a long time since she'd prepared such an elaborate meal, but she'd always loved to cut recipes from magazines, even from a young age. Cooking was the one enthusiasm she'd been able to share occasionally with her mom. She spent the rest of the afternoon hurrying. She mixed the bread and put it in the oven, then readied the ingredients for the stuffed peppers. Those went into the refrigerator along with the bacon-wrapped brie. When the cornbread was done, she placed it on the counter to cool and started the raspberry sauce. Not much to it, sugar, raspberries, and water, but by the time it was ready, the kitchen smelled heavenly. That went into the fridge as well. Everything else could wait until later. In her bedroom, she shortened the skirt to just above the knee, then made a last tour of the house to make sure everything was in place. Finally, she began to undress. As she slipped into the shower, she thought about Alex. She visualized his easy smile and the graceful way he moved, and the memories started a slow burn in her belly. Despite herself, she wondered whether he was taking a shower at the same time she was. There was something erotic in the idea, the promise of something exciting and new. It was just dinner, she reminded herself again. But even then, she knew she wasn't being completely honest with herself. There was another force at work here, something she'd been trying to deny. She was attracted to him more than she wanted to admit, and as she stepped out of the shower, she knew she had to be careful. He was the kind of man she knew she could fall for, and the notion frightened her. She wasn't ready for that. Not yet, anyway. Then again, she heard a voice inside her whisper. Maybe she was. After toweling off, she moisturized her skin with a sweet-smelling body lotion, then put on her new outfit, including the sandals, before reaching for the makeup she'd purchased from the drugstore. She didn't need much, just some lipstick, mascara, and a trace of eyeshadow. She brushed her hair and then put on a pair of dangly earrings she'd bought on a whim. When she was finished, she stepped back from the mirror. That's it, she thought to herself. That's all I've got. She turned one way, then the other, tugging at the blouse before finally smiling. She hadn't looked this good in a long time. Though the sun had finally moved toward the western sky, the house was still warm, and she opened the kitchen window. The breeze was enough to keep her cool as she set the table. Earlier in the week, as she'd been leaving the store, Alex had asked her if he could bring a bottle of wine, and Katie put a couple of glasses out. In the center of the table, she placed a candle, and as she stepped back, she heard the sound of an engine approaching. She saw from the clock that Alex was right on time. She drew a deep breath, trying to calm her nerves. Then, walking across the room and opening the door, she stepped out onto the porch. Dressed in jeans and a blue shirt rolled up to his elbows, Alex was standing at the driver's side door and leaning into the car, obviously reaching for something. His hair was still a little damp near his collar. Alex pulled out two bottles of wine and turned around. Seeing her, he seemed to freeze, his expression one of disbelief. She stood surrounded by the last rays of the setting sun, perfectly radiant, and for a moment, all he could do was stare. His wonder was obvious, and Katie let it wash over her, knowing she wanted the feeling to last forever. "You made it," she said. The sound of her voice was enough to break the spell, but Alex continued to stare. He knew he should say something witty, something charming, to break the tension. But instead, he found himself thinking,
"I'm in trouble. Serious trouble."
He wasn't exactly sure when it had happened, or even when it started. It may have been the morning when he'd seen Kristen holding Katie after Josh had fallen in the river, or the rainy afternoon when he'd driven her home, or even during the day they had spent at the beach. All he knew for sure was that right here and now, he was falling hard for this woman, and he could only pray that she was feeling the same way. In time, he was finally able to clear his throat.
"Yeah," he said. "I guess I did."
Chapter 16. The early evening sky was a prism of colors as Katie led Alex through the small living room and toward the kitchen. "I don't know about you, but I could use a glass of wine," she said.
"Good idea," he agreed. "I wasn't sure what we were having, so I brought both a Sauvignon Blanc and a Zinfandel. Do you have a preference?"
"I'll let you pick," she said. In the kitchen, she leaned against the counter, one leg crossed over the other, while Alex twisted the corkscrew into the cork. For once, he seemed more nervous than she was. With a series of quick movements, he opened the bottle of Sauvignon Blanc. Katie set the glasses on the counter next to him, conscious of how close together they were standing.
"I know I should have said it when I first got here, but you look beautiful."
"Thank you," she said. He poured some wine, then set the bottle aside and handed her a glass. As she took it, he could smell the coconut-scented body lotion she'd used.
"I think you'll like the wine. At least, I hope so."
"I'm sure I'll love it," she said, raising her glass. "Cheers," she offered, clinking her glass against his. Katie took a sip, feeling inordinately pleased about everything. How she looked and felt, the taste of the wine, the lingering scent of the raspberry sauce, the way Alex kept eyeing her while trying not to be obvious about it. "Would you like to sit on the porch?" she suggested. He nodded. Outside, they each sat in one of the rockers. In the slowly cooling air, the crickets began their chorus, welcoming the coming night. Katie savored the wine, enjoying the fruity tang it left on her tongue. "How were Kristen and Josh today?"
"They were good," Alex shrugged. "I took them to a movie."
"But it was so pretty outside."
"I know, but with Memorial Day on Monday, I figure we can still spend a couple of days outside."
"Is the store open on Memorial Day?"
"Of course. It's one of the busiest days of the year, since everyone wants to spend the holiday on the water. I'll probably work until 1 o'clock or so."
"I'd say I feel sorry for you, but I'm working too."
"Maybe we'll come in and bother you again."
"You didn't bother me at all." She peered at him over the top of her wine glass. Well, the kids didn't bother me anyway. As I recall, you were complaining about the quality of service.
Us old guys will do that,
he quipped. She laughed before rocking back in the chair. When I'm not working, I like to sit out here and read. It's just so quiet, you know? Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one around for miles.
You are the only one around for miles. You live in the sticks.
She playfully slapped his shoulder. Watch it. I happen to like my little house.
You should. It's in better shape than I thought it would be. It's homey.
It's getting there, she said. It's a work in progress. And best of all, it's mine. And no one's going to take it away. He looked over at her then. She was staring out over the gravel road into the grassy field beyond.
Are you okay?
He asked. She took her time before answering. I was just thinking that I'm glad you're here. You don't even know me.
I think I know you well enough.
Katie said nothing to that. Alex watched as she lowered her gaze. You think you know me, she whispered. But you don't. Alex sensed that she was scared to say any more. In the silence, he heard the porch creaking as he rocked back and forth.
How about I tell you what I think I know, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong? Would that be okay?
She nodded, her lips compressed. When Alex went on, his voice was soft.
I think you're intelligent and charming, and that you're a person with a kind heart. I know that when you want to, you can look more beautiful than anyone I've ever met. You're independent, you've got a good sense of humor, and you show surprising patience with children. You're right in thinking that I don't know the specifics of your past, but I don't know that they're all that important unless you want to tell me about them. Everyone has a past, but that's just it. It's in the past. You can learn from it, but you can't change it. Besides, I never knew that person. The person I've come to know is the one I want to get to know even better.
As he spoke, Katie gave a fleeting smile. You make it sound so simple, she said.
It can be.
She twisted the stem of her wine glass, considering his words. But what if the past isn't in the past? What if it's still happening? Alex continued to stare at her, holding her gaze.
You mean, what if he finds you?
Katie flinched. What did you say?
You heard me, he said.
He kept his voice steady, almost conversational, something he'd learned in CID.
I'm guessing that you were married once, and that maybe he's trying to find you.
Katie froze, her eyes going wide. It was suddenly hard to breathe, and she jumped up from the chair, spilling the rest of her wine. She took a step away from Alex, staring, feeling the blood drain from her face. How do you know so much about me? Who told you? She demanded, her mind racing, trying to piece it together. There was no way he could know those things. It wasn't possible. She hadn't told anyone. Except for Joe. The realization was enough to leave her breathless, and she glanced at the cottage next door. Her neighbor, she thought, had betrayed her. Her friend had betrayed her. As fast as her mind was working, Alex's was working as well. He could see the fear in her expression, but he'd seen it before, too many times. And he knew it was time to stop playing games if they wanted to be able to move forward.
No one told me, he assured her. But your reaction makes it clear that I'm right. That's not the important question. I don't know that person, Katie. If you want to tell me about your past, I'm willing to listen and help in any way I can. But I'm not going to ask you about it. And if you don't want to tell me, that's okay too, because again, I never knew that person. You must have a good reason for keeping it secret,
and that means I'm not going to tell anyone either. No matter what happens or doesn't happen between us. Go ahead and make up a brand new history if you want, and I'll back you up, word for word. You can trust me on that.
Katie stared at him as he spoke, confused and scared and angry, but absorbing every word. But how?
I've learned to notice things that other people don't, he went on. There was a time in my life when that was all I did. And you're not the first woman I've met in your position.
She continued to stare at him, wheels turning. When you were in the army, she concluded. He nodded, holding her gaze. Finally, he stood from the chair and took a cautious step toward her.
Can I pour you another glass of wine?
Still in turmoil, she couldn't answer. But when he reached for her glass, she let him take it. The porch door opened with a squeak and closed behind him, leaving her alone. She paced to the railing, her thoughts chaotic. She fought the instinct to pack a bag and grab her coffee can full of money and leave town as soon as she could. But what then? If Alex could figure out the truth simply by watching her, then it was possible for someone else to figure it out too. And maybe, just maybe, they wouldn't be like Alex. Behind her, she heard the door squeak open again. Alex stepped onto the porch, joining her at the railing. He set the glass in front of her.
Did you figure it out yet?
Figure what out?
Whether you're going to take off to parts unknown as soon as you can?
She turned to him, her face registering shock. He held open his hands.
What else would you be thinking? But just so you know, I'm curious only because I'm kind of hungry. I'd hate for you to leave before we eat.
It took her a moment to realize he was teasing, and though she wouldn't have believed it possible considering the last few minutes, she found herself smiling in relief. We'll have dinner, she said.
And tomorrow?
Instead of answering, she reached for her wine. I want to know how you knew.
It wasn't one thing, he said.
He mentioned a few of the things he'd noticed before finally shaking his head.
Most people wouldn't have put it all together.
She studied the depths of her glass. But you did.
I couldn't help it. It's kind of ingrained.
She thought about it. That means you've known for a while, then. Or at least had suspicions.
Yes,
he admitted. Which is why you never asked about my past.
Yes,
he said again. And you still wanted to go out with me? His expression was serious.
I've wanted to go out with you from the first moment I saw you. I just had to wait until you were ready.
With the last of the sunlight fading from the horizon, twilight descended, turning the flat, cloudless sky a pale violet. They stood at the railing, and Alex watched as the southern breeze gently lifted wayward strands of her hair. Her skin took on a peachy glow. He saw the subtle rise and fall of her chest as she breathed. She gazed into the distance, her expression unreadable. And Alex felt something catch in his throat as he wondered what she was thinking.
You never answered my question, he finally said.
She stayed quiet for a moment before a shy smile finally appeared. I think I'm going to stay in Southport for a while, if that's what you're asking, she answered. He breathed in her scent.
You can trust me, you know.
She leaned into him, feeling his strength as he slipped his arm around her. I guess I'm going to have to, aren't I? They returned to the kitchen a few minutes later. Katie set her glass of wine aside as she slid the appetizer and stuffed peppers into the oven. Still reeling from Alex's disturbingly accurate assessment of her past, she was glad for tasks to keep her busy. It was hard to fathom that he still wanted to spend an evening with her. And more important, that she wanted to spend an evening with him. Deep in her heart, she wasn't sure she deserved to be happy. Nor did she believe that she was worthy of someone who seemed normal. That was the dirty secret associated with her past. Not that she'd been abused, but that somehow she felt that she deserved it because she'd let it happen. Even now, it shamed her, and there were times when she felt hideously ugly,
as though the scars that had been left behind were visible to everyone.
But here and now, it mattered less than it once had, because she somehow suspected that Alex understood her shame and accepted that, too.
From the refrigerator, she pulled out the raspberry sauce she'd made earlier and began spooning it into a small saucepan to reheat. It didn't take long, and after setting it aside, she pulled the bacon-wrapped brie from the oven, topped it with the sauce, and brought the cheese to the table.
Suddenly remembering, she retrieved her wine from the counter and joined Alex at the table. "This is just a start," she said. "The peppers are going to take a little longer." He leaned toward the platter.
"It smells amazing."
He moved a piece of brie to his plate and took a bite.
"Wow,"
he said. She grinned. "Good, huh?"
"It's delicious. Where did you learn to do this?"
"I was friends with a chef once. He told me this would wow just about anyone." He cut another piece with his fork.
"I'm glad you're staying in Southport," he said. "I can easily imagine myself eating this regularly, even if I have to barter items at my store to get it."
"The recipe isn't complicated."
"You haven't seen me cook. I'm great with kid food, but after that it starts going downhill fast."
He reached for his glass and took a sip of wine.
"I think the cheese might go better with the red. Do you mind if I open the other bottle?"
"Not at all." He walked over to the counter and opened the Zinfandel while Katie went to the cupboard and removed two more glasses. Alex poured wine into each and handed one to her. They were standing close enough to brush up against each other, and Alex had to fight the urge to pull her close and wrap his arms around her. Instead, he cleared his throat.
"I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to take it the wrong way."
She hesitated. "Why don't I like the sound of this?"
"I just wanted to tell you how much I've been looking forward to tonight. I mean, I've been thinking about it all week."
"Why would I take that the wrong way?"
"I don't know. Because you're a woman? Because it makes me sound desperate, and women don't like desperate men."
For the first time that evening, she laughed easily. "I don't think you're desperate. I get the sense you might be a bit overwhelmed at times because of the business and the kids, but it's not like you've been calling me every day."
"That's only because you don't have a phone. But anyway, I wanted you to know that it means a lot to me. I don't have a lot of experience in things like this." "Dinner?" "Dating. It's been a while."
"Join the club," she thought to herself. But it made her feel good anyway. "Come on," she said, motioning to the appetizer. "It's better when it's warm." When the appetizer was finished, Katie rose from the table and went to the oven. She peeked at the peppers before rinsing the saucepan she'd used earlier. She gathered the ingredients for the scampi sauce and got that started, then began to sauté the shrimp. By the time the shrimp were done, the sauce was ready as well. She put a pepper on each of their plates and added the main course. Then, after dimming the lights, she lit the candle she'd placed at the center of the table. The aroma of butter and garlic and the flickering light against the wall made the old kitchen feel almost new with promise. They ate and talked while outside the stars emerged from hiding. Alex praised the meal more than once, claiming that he'd never tasted anything better. As the candle burned lower and the wine bottle emptied, Katie revealed bits and pieces about her life growing up in Altoona. While she'd held back about telling Joe the whole truth about her parents, She gave Alex the unvarnished version. The constant moves, her parents' alcoholism, the fact that she'd been on her own since she'd turned 18. Alex stayed silent throughout, listening without judgment. Even so, she wasn't sure what he thought about her past. When she finally trailed off, she found herself wondering whether she'd said too much. But it was then that he reached over and placed his hand on hers. Though she couldn't meet his gaze, they held hands across the table, neither of them willing to let go, as if they were the only two people remaining in the world. "I should probably start cleaning the kitchen," Katie said, finally breaking the spell. She pushed back from the table. Alex heard her chair scrape against the floor, aware that the moment had been lost and wanting nothing more than to get it back.
"I want you to know I've had a wonderful time tonight," he began.
"Alex, I..." He shook his head.
"You don't have to say anything."
She didn't let him finish. "I want to, okay?" She stood near the table, her eyes glittering with some unknown emotion. "I've had a wonderful time too. But I know where this is leading, and I don't want you to get hurt." She exhaled, steeling herself for the words that were coming next. "I can't make promises. I can't tell you where I'll be tomorrow, let alone a year from now. When I first ran, I thought I'd be able to put everything behind me and start over, you know? I'd live my life and simply pretend that none of it ever happened. But how can I do that? You think you know me, but I'm not sure that even I know who I am anymore. And as much as you know about me, there's a lot you don't know." Alex felt something collapse inside him.
"Are you saying that you don't want to see me again?"
"No." She shook her head vehemently. "I'm saying all this because I do want to see you, and it scares me, because I know deep in my heart that you deserve someone better. You deserve someone you can count on, someone your kids can count on. Like I said, there are things you don't know about me."
"Those things don't matter," Alex insisted.
"How can you say that?" In the silence that followed, Alex could hear the faint hum of the refrigerator. Through the window, the moon had risen and hung suspended over the treetops.
"Because I know me," he finally said, realizing that he was in love with her.
He loved the Katie he'd come to know, and the Katie he'd never had the chance to meet. He rose from the table, moving closer to her. "Alex, this can't..."
"Katie,"
he whispered, and for a moment neither of them moved. Alex finally put a hand on her hip and pulled her closer. Katie exhaled, as if setting down an age-old burden, and when she looked up at him, it was suddenly easy for her to imagine that her fears were pointless. That he would love her no matter what she told him, and that he was the kind of man who loved her already and would love her forever. And it was then she realized that she loved him too. With that, she let herself lean into him. She felt their bodies come together as he raised a hand to her hair. His touch was gentle and soft, unlike anything she'd known before. And she watched in wonder as he closed his eyes. He tilted his head, their faces drawing close. When their lips finally came together, she could taste the wine on his tongue. She gave herself over to him then, allowing him to kiss her cheek and her neck, and she leaned back, reveling in the sensation. She could feel the moisture of his lips as they brushed against her skin, and she slid her arms around his neck. "This is what it feels like, to really love someone," she thought, "and to be loved in return," and she could feel the tears beginning to form. She blinked, trying to will them back, but all at once they were impossible to stop. She loved him and wanted him, But more than that, she wanted him to love the real her, with all her flaws and secrets. She wanted him to know the whole truth. They kissed for a long time in the kitchen, their bodies pressed together, his hand moving over her back and in her hair. She shivered at the feel of the slight stubble on his cheeks. When he ran a finger over the skin of her arm, she felt a flood of liquid heat course through her body. "I want to be with you, but I can't," she finally whispered, hoping that he wouldn't be angry.
"It's okay," he whispered. "There's no way tonight could have been any more wonderful than it's already been."
"But you're disappointed." He brushed a strand of hair from her face.
"It's not possible for you to disappoint me," he said.
She swallowed, trying to rid herself of her fears. "There's something you should know about me," she whispered.
"Whatever it is, I'm sure I can handle it."
She leaned into him again. "I can't be with you tonight," she whispered. "For the same reason I could never marry you." She sighed. "I have a husband."
"I know,"
he whispered. "It doesn't matter to you?"
"It's not perfect. But trust me, I'm not perfect either. So maybe it's best if we take all of this one day at a time. And when you're ready, if you're ever ready, I'll be waiting."
He brushed her cheek with his finger.
"I love you, Katie. You might not be ready to say those words now, and maybe you'll never be able to say them. But that doesn't change how I feel about you."
"Alex."
"You don't have to say it," he said.
"Can I explain?" she asked, finally pulling back. He didn't bother to hide his curiosity. "I want to tell you something," she said. "I want to tell you about me." Chapter 17. 3 days before Katie left New England, a brisk January wind made the snowflakes freeze, and she had to lower her head as she walked toward the salon. Her long blonde hair blew in the wind, and she could feel the pinpricks of ice as they tapped against her cheeks. She wore high-heeled pumps, not boots, and her feet were already freezing. Behind her, Kevin sat in the car, watching her. Though she didn't turn, she could hear the car idling, and could imagine the mouth that was set into a hard, straight line. The crowds that had filled the strip mall during Christmas were gone. On either side of the salon was a Radio Shack and a pet store, both of them empty. No one wanted to be out on a day like today. When Katie pulled the door, it flew open in the wind, and she struggled to close it. Chilled air followed her into the salon, and the shoulders of her jacket were coated with a fine layer of white. She slipped off her gloves and jacket, turning around as she did so. She waved goodbye to Kevin and smiled. He liked it when she smiled at him. Her appointment was at 2 with a woman named Rachel. Most of the stations were already filled, and Katie was unsure where to go. It was her first time here, and she was uncomfortable. None of the stylists looked older than 30, and most had wild hair with red and blue tints. A moment later, she was approached by a girl in her mid-20s, tanned and pierced, with a tattoo on her neck.
"Are you my 2 o'clock? Color and trim?" she asked.
Katie nodded.
"I'm Rachel. Follow me."
Rachel glanced over her shoulder.
"It's cold out there, huh?" Rachel said. "I almost died on my way to the door. They make us park on the far side of the lot. I hate that, but what can I do, right?"
"It is cold," Katie agreed. Rachel led her to a station near the corner. The chair was purple vinyl and the floor was black tile. A place for younger people, Katie thought. Singles who wanted to stand out, not married women with blonde hair. Katie fidgeted as Rachel put a smock over her. She wiggled her toes, trying to warm her feet.
"Are you new in the area?" Rachel asked.
"I live in Dorchester," she said.
"That's kind of out of the way. Did someone give you a referral?"
Katie had passed by the salon 2 weeks earlier when Kevin had taken her shopping, but she didn't say that. Instead, she simply shook her head.
"I guess I'm lucky I answered the phone then," Rachel smiled. "What sort of color do you want?"
Katie hated to stare at herself in the mirror, but she didn't have a choice. She had to get this right. She had to. Tucked into the mirror in front of her was a photograph of Rachel with someone Katie assumed to be her boyfriend. He had more piercings than she did, and he had a mohawk. Beneath the smock, Katie squeezed her hands together. "I want it to look natural, so maybe some lowlights for winter? And fix the roots, too, so they blend?" Rachel nodded into the mirror.
"Do you want it about the same color? Or darker or lighter? Not the lowlights, I mean."
"About the same."
"Foil okay?"
"Yes," Katie answered.
"Easy as pie," Rachel said. "Just give me a couple minutes to get things ready and I'll be back, okay?"
Katie nodded. Off to the side, she saw a woman leaning back at the sink, another stylist beside her. She could hear the water as it was turned on and the hum of conversation from the other stations. Music played faintly over the speakers. Rachel returned with the foil and the color. Near the chair, she stirred the color, making sure the consistency was right.
"How long have you lived in Dorchester?"
4 years.
"Where'd you grow up?"
"Pennsylvania," Katie said. "I lived in Atlantic City before I moved here."
"Was that your husband who dropped you off?"
"Yes."
"He's got a nice car. I saw it when you were waving. What is it, a Mustang?"
Katie nodded again, but didn't answer. Rachel worked for a little while in silence, applying color and wrapping the foil.
"How long have you been married?"
Rachel asked, as she coated and wrapped a particularly tricky strand of hair. 4 years.
"That's why you moved to Dorchester, huh?"
"Yes." Rachel kept up her patter.
"So what do you do?"
Katie stared straight ahead, trying not to see herself, wishing that she were someone else. She could be here for an hour and a half before Kevin came back, and she prayed he wouldn't arrive early. "I don't have a job," Katie answered.
"I'd go crazy if I didn't work. Not that it's always easy. What did you do before you were married?"
"I was a cocktail waitress."
"In one of the casinos?"
Katie nodded.
"Is that where you met your husband?"
"Yes," Katie said.
"So, what's he doing now while you're getting your hair done?"
"He's probably at a bar," Katie thought. "I don't know."
"Why didn't you drive then? Like I said, it's kind of out of the way."
"I don't drive. My husband drives me when I need to go somewhere."
"I don't know what I'd do without a car. I mean, it's not much, but it gets me to where I need to go. I'd hate to have to depend on someone else like that."
Katie could smell perfume in the air. The radiator below the counter had begun to click. "I never learned to drive." Rachel shrugged as she worked another piece of foil into Katie's hair.
"It's not hard. Practice a little, take the test, and you're good to go."
Katie stared at Rachel in the mirror. Rachel seemed to know what she was doing, but she was young and starting out, and Katie still wished she were older and more experienced. Which was odd, because she was probably only a couple of years older than Rachel, maybe less than that. But Katie felt old.
"Do you have kids?"
"No." Perhaps the girl sensed that she'd said something wrong, because she worked in silence for the next few minutes, the foils making Katie look like she had alien antennae, before finally leading Katie to another seat. Rachel turned on a heat lamp.
"I'll be back to check in a few minutes, okay?"
Rachel wandered off toward another stylist. They were talking, but the chatter in the salon made it impossible to overhear them. Katie glanced at the clock. Kevin would be back in less than an hour. Time was going fast. Too fast. Rachel came back and checked on her hair.
A little while longer,
she chirped, and resumed her conversation with her colleague, gesturing with her hands, animated, young and carefree. Happy. More minutes passed, then a dozen. Katie tried not to stare at the clock. Finally, it was time, and Rachel removed the foil before leading Katie to the sink. Katie sat and leaned back, resting her neck against the towel. Rachel turned the water on, and Katie felt a splash of cool water against her cheek. Rachel massaged the shampoo in her hair and scalp and rinsed, then added conditioner and rinsed again.
Now let's trim you up, okay?
Back at the station, Katie thought her hair looked okay, but it was hard to tell when it was wet. It had to be right, or Kevin would notice. Rachel combed Katie's hair straight, getting out the tangles. There were 40 minutes left. Rachel stared into the mirror at Katie's reflection. How much do you want taken off?
Not too much, Katie said. Just enough to clean it up. My husband likes it long. How do you want it styled? I've got a book over there if you want something new.
How I had it when I came in is fine.
Will do, Rachel said.
Katie watched as Rachel used a comb, running her hair through her fingers, then snipped it with the scissors. First the back, then the sides, and finally the top. Somewhere, Rachel had found a piece of gum and she chewed, her jaw moving up and down as she worked.
Okay so far?
Yes, I think that's enough. Rachel reached for the hairdryer and a circular brush. She ran the brush slowly through Katie's hair, the noise of the dryer loud in her ear.
How often do you get your hair done? Rachel asked, making small talk.
Once a month, Katie answered. But sometimes I just get it cut.
You have beautiful hair, by the way.
Thank you. Rachel continued to work. Katie asked for some light curls, and Rachel brought out the curling iron. It took a couple of minutes to heat up. There were still 20 minutes left. Rachel curled and brushed until she was finally satisfied and studied Katie in the mirror.
How's that?
Katie examined the color and the style.
That's perfect, she said. Let me show you the back, Rachel said.
She spun Katie's chair around and handed her a mirror. Katie stared into the double reflection and nodded.
Okay, that's it then, Rachel said.
How much is it? Rachel told her, and Katie dug into her purse. She pulled out the money she needed, including the tip. Could I have a receipt?
Sure, Rachel said. Just come with me to the register.
The girl wrote it up. Kevin would check it and ask for the change when she got back in the car, so she made sure Rachel included the tip. She glanced at the clock. 12 minutes. Kevin had yet to return, and her heart was beating fast as she slipped her jacket and gloves back on. She left the salon while Rachel was still talking to her. Next door, at Radio Shack, she asked the clerk for a disposable cell phone and a card that allowed her 20 hours of service. She felt faint as she said the words, knowing that after this, there was no turning back. He pulled one out from under the counter and began to ring her up while he explained how it worked. She had extra money in her purse tucked into a tampon case because she knew Kevin would never look there. She pulled it out, laying the crumpled bills on the counter. The clock was continuing to tick, and she looked out at the lot again. She was beginning to feel dizzy, and her mouth had gone dry. It took the clerk forever to ring her up. Though she was paying cash, he asked for her name, address, and zip code. Pointless. Ridiculous. She wanted to pay and get out of there. She counted to 10, and the clerk still typed. On the road, the light had turned red. Cars were waiting. She wondered if Kevin was getting ready to turn into the lot. She wondered if he would see her leaving the store. It was hard for her to breathe again. She tried to open the plastic packaging, but it was impossible, as strong as steel. Too big for her small handbag, too big for her pocket. She asked the clerk for a pair of scissors, and it took him a precious minute to find one. She wanted to scream, to tell him to hurry, because Kevin would be here any minute. She turned toward the window instead. When the phone was free, she jammed it into her jacket pocket, along with the prepaid card. The clerk asked if she wanted a bag, but she was out the door without answering. The phone felt like lead, and the snow and ice made it hard to keep her balance. She opened the door of the salon and went back inside. She slipped off her jacket and gloves and waited by the register. 30 seconds later, she saw Kevin's car turn into the lot, angling toward the salon. There was snow on her jacket, and she quickly brushed at it as Rachel came toward her. Katie panicked at the thought that Kevin might have noticed. She concentrated, urging herself to stay in control, to act natural. "Did you forget something?" Rachel asked. Katie exhaled. "I was going to wait outside, but it's too cold," she explained. "And then I realized I didn't get your card." Rachel's face lit up.
"Oh, that's right. Hold on a second," she said.
She walked toward her station and pulled a card from the drawer.